Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Let's concentrate on some of the things to remember. After a torturous trek from the halls of Pilate to that hill outside the walls in Jerusalem, the soldiers had a dreary job to do. But even the dreary, even the cruel, when you've done it over and over, can become commonplace. It's just your duty to do. You do it without thinking of anything. You just do your job without feeling. Can you imagine the cross there on the ground, taking Jesus, laying him on the cross, stretch out his arm, get the nail in place, and the one with the large hammer, "Be careful. Make sure you do this well and don't make a mess." Wham! In goes the nail through the wrist into the wood. Take the other arm, stretch it out, put the nail in place. Wham! It's in place. This is a little tricky. Pull out his legs now, put his feet together. Get the nail fixed, probably between the heel and the ankle bone. Make sure you do this right. Wham! The nail goes through the foot into the wood. Okay. He's not going anyplace. The rest of you come. Help us get this cross up, stand it up, move it forward, drop it into the hole that has been prepared. Wham! It's in place. Soldiers under those circumstances when people were crucified probably hung around, did whatever they had to do, making sure that nobody disturbed what was taking place, that there would be no opposition. And we read, though, that there's a little different circumstance here on this time and this occasion. This is from Matthew, the 27th chapter, beginning with verse 33, and we find these words. "And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha," that is to say, the place of the skull, "they gave him wine to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted it, he would not drink." That's strange. Later, at the end of his experience on the cross, after he has bled so much, "you would be thirsty exceedingly so," and they gave him vinegar to drink, and he drank that. But this, mixed with gall, myrrh, it was something provided by the women of Jerusalem for their countrymen who were being crucified. It was to deaden the pain. I don't know why Jesus refused it, but a question arises. Is it if he is going to take the suffering for our sin? If he is going to accept that punish, he is going to drink it all. He will take it all. When you've had pain, somebody hands you an Advil or Tylenol, can you get it quickly enough? We want the pain gone. Jesus refused that, and he took what was going to be dealt him. "And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments among them, casting lots, and they sat and watched him there." And instead of simply saying, "Okay, he's on the cross, we can wander around, we just need to kind of watch over the place." No, they sat and watched him there. This is an unusual man. We remember him and the signs that he has done. This is not unknown. We remember him riding on a donkey into the city and the crowds crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, save Lord in the highest." He went into that temple and he cleaned it out. He cast out the money changers that were there. He cast out those who were selling sacrifices there. "This is a house of prayer. You have defiled it. You have made it something that is not." Right on the corner of the temple grounds was the Fortress Antonia. That's where Roman soldiers were quartered. They did not even bother that. This was a Jewish thing. But it got out of hand when thousands of them stood in the street and demanded, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so we look at this text and we find they sat and watched him there. They were interested, they were curious, but they were guarding him. Make sure he stays on the cross. That's kind of the mood in our culture today. Instead of inviting Jesus into your heart, instead of going to assembly where saints are and worshiping God, just make sure he stays on the cross. Or, as some courts rule, don't let him wander about in public places. Don't let his word be preached anywhere. Make sure he doesn't pray at a football field. Guard him. Keep him in his place. When we lived in New Jersey, even all the way back in the 1980s, the Bergen Record, which was the principal newspaper for the over a million who lived there in Bergen County, just across the river from New York City, there was an editorial that said, "If he is served inside the four walls of a church building, that's enough. He doesn't need to be out in the public." Our culture wants to guard Jesus and keep him on the cross. The soldiers wanted to guard Jesus and keep him on the cross. Others passed by mocking at him. It was prophesied in the 22nd Psalm, "They gaped at me with their mouth." That was the same thing that Job said about his friends as they mocked him. "They gaped at me with their mouth." With their mouth open in amazement. What was that all about? "Job, you protest your innocence. You talk about how righteous you are. How can you explain that and the suffering that you're doing?" And that's the idea of the people who walked by and saw Jesus on the cross. They gaped with their mouth. "You claim to be the Son of God. You claim to be righteous. If you're the servant of God, if you're righteous, what are you doing there on the cross, and why isn't God doing something?" You know, Job didn't understand, but Jesus understood. Job was suffering because he was righteous. He took your place so that not each one of you has to suffer to that extent to prove that man can love God and serve him no matter what the cost. He stood in your place and he did that. And his friends, not understanding that it was his righteousness that was causing his suffering, they gaped with their mouth. "What, Job?" And so they looked at Jesus. If you're so righteous, why are you experiencing the things that you are experiencing there? There was darkness. They crucified him at 3 o'clock. They crucified him at 9 o'clock in the morning. At noon, darkness fell over the earth. And it remained till 3 o'clock. And there were others there toward the end of this time who misunderstood him. When he said, "Eli, Eli," calling upon God, and they thought he was calling for Elijah. And they, in their curiosity, just said, "Let's wait and see if Elijah comes to save him." Are you here this morning simply out of curiosity? It's a nice thing to do. I need to go to church once in a while. I need a little spirituality in my life, and I'll go and I'll endure the service, and I'll get up and go home. Or are we here really involved in our love for Christ, remembering the death that he died? There are a lot of people throughout the land in and out of church buildings today who are there out of just curious watching. We're here to eat the Lord's Supper. We are here to be involved in the death of Jesus Christ to that extent. Then right at the last, there were two things Jesus said, and when you read the texts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, evidently they were pretty well said together and said in a loud voice. The first was, "It is finished," triumphantly. And then continuing in a loud voice, "Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. I am the Son of God, dying and giving my life for even those who are here crucified me. But there were others there. In verse 51, when the earth quaked at this happening, when the curtain in the temple was rent from top to bottom, when the rocks split, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. And we come on down then to the soldiers. Now the centurion and they that were watching Jesus, when they saw the earth quake and the things that were done, they feared exceedingly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. There were others there who knew that already. And many women that were beholding him from afar, who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. They're not just ministering unto him here. They had ministered unto him in Galilee. They took from their living and they helped support Jesus and the apostles. Many of the women, some of them named. One was the wife of a steward of Herod, in fact, himself, the one before whom Jesus appeared. And then it says, and among whom was Mary Magdalene, and the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It sounds like these are numbered among those who are far off. No, they are numbered among those who had ministered to Jesus. And when you read John, Mary Magdalene and these other women that are named here at the last, they were right there at the cross so Jesus could speak to John standing there and telling John to take Mary and make her his mother and care for her. So the soldiers sat and watched him there. Mary Magdalene, blessed Mary Magdalene, was there. And she was there when they took him out to bury him and watch the place, along with the other women mentioned here. And they were there the next morning and saw the tomb empty. And then they were all together with the apostles that evening, triumphantly as Jesus appeared in their midst. So we're going to eat the Lord's Supper. Let us eat it as victoriously as all of them did finally. When they saw the risen Lord, they knew he had overcome death. They knew that we would overcome death because of what he did there on the cross when the soldiers sat and watched him there.